Everyone's asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help feel like I'm doing this all by myself.
All right, welcome. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. It's the show that broadcasts live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island chained nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. It's also incidentally Fukushima irradiated, which is good for the economy because everybody has a part-time job now as an incandescent light bulb. My very special guest coming from the Trends Research Institute in, I think it's in New York City, is Gerald Celente from Trends Research. Gerald, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Vinny. Actually, we're from Colonial Kingston, about 2 hours north of New York City, the first capital of New York State, on the most historic corner in the United States, the only place on each corner where there's a stone building that predates the Revolution.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. Well, I've only got a short time with you here, about maybe 15, 17 minutes if we're pushing it there, so I don't want to waste it. I was wondering just exactly what your perspective is on what's happening inside the United States right now with regards to the economy and basically where it's actually headed. Because a lot of people have said it's heading for a massive global depression, and other people have said, oh, it's on the turnaround. What's your perspective?
Well, it's clearly, it's an interest rate rally. And that means that interest rates are now at record lows. And if you play back the clock, you've seen this play before. You go back to the panic of, the crash, the bursting of the Dow, the NASDAQ bubble at the dot-com boom when it collapsed in 2000. In 2001, following 9/11, the Fed chairman lowered interest rates to 40-year lows, and that created the housing bubble. They're doing the same thing now, not only in the United States. They're doing it in Europe. They're doing it in Japan. They're doing it in China. They're doing it all over the world. They're pumping up their economies with stimulus. Everybody knows this. And record low interest rates. So, for example, once upon a time, they used to encourage people to put money away for a rainy day. They called it savings. And you put it in the bank, and you got a return on your money with a higher interest rate. Now you put your money in the bank, you lose money. They give you back nothing. So it's forcing people to go into the equity markets. And then you go back, Vinny, to Davos meeting about a month ago, and the word from Davos with three letters, LBO, leverage buyouts. Why? Because money's so damn cheap. They're devaluing the currency. In the United States, for example, hey, you want to buy a new automobile? I got a deal for you, my cousin Vinny. I'm going to give you no interest rates because you're a nice guy. That's right. Step right up. Zero interest rates, Vinny. You can start paying me back. Bang, 60 months. How's that? Now drive away with this beauty. It's all yours. They're doing that up and down the line. Interest rates, for example, to buy a home. A residential mortgage, 15 years, locked in at 2.87%. Commercial loans, 3.25%. So what they're doing is they're juicing the economy with cheap money. In the United States, they call it quantitative easing. Isn't that a proper term? But not as proper as that term they have over there that Mario Draghi, the head of the European Central Bank, former head of the Goldman Sachs gang, European division, that's right, the vice chairman, they call it OMT, ongoing monetary transactions, I call it
OMG.
Yeah, you call it OMG after the whole thing goes down.
Well, then you call it WTF.
Yeah, that's right. No, that's WTF now, and later comes OMG.
Oh yes, let's get the chronology right here. Oh, yeah.
So that's what's going on.
Okay. So it's basically in the crapper, and I had this philosophy, and I don't know if it'll work. the reason why all this massive debt and cheap money exists is because they made it up out of thin air, right? Basically, they're pretending it exists. And I thought to myself, why don't we just pretend that it doesn't exist? You know, forgive all the debt. Would that set us right?
Actually, that's what's going to happen eventually, is they're going to debase the currency. So people are concerned about inflation. I don't see inflation coming. I see a devaluation of the currency. They're debasing the currencies. This is historical. They've never done anything like this before. But they've done something a little bit like it before. Let's play back the clock again. It was a thing called the crash of 1929. It was followed by the Great Depression. It was followed then by currency wars, and then trade wars, then world war. Fast forward, the panic of 08. The Great Depression. There's a depression going on. The prostitutes don't call it that. They call what's going on in Greece with 27% unemployment and people sleeping out in the streets and committing suicide and having nothing, no heat, losing everything that they own. They call that a recession. It's not a depression. What's going on in Spain? 27% unemployment. Yeah, people losing everything out in the streets, blowing their brains out. That's only a recession. It's not a depression. Portugal, Italy, you have on average in the Eurozone, among those countries, you have about 45% youth unemployment rate. This whole thing is going down, but they don't call it that. So now what's happened? You had a panic, a depression, you have currency wars. Listen to the words of the new prime minister of Japan, Abe. There's a currency war going on, and we're going to make it better. Tell you what we're going to do. We're going to devalue the yen 20% since he got into office and have the Bank of Japan keep printing cheap money like the United States, like Europe, like China, and like Europe. Then you listen to Guido Mantega. He's the finance minister of Brazil. There's a currency war going on. Listen to Mervyn King, the prince, the clown prince of the Bank of England. There's a currency war going on. Listen to Alex Verber, the head of UBS, former head of Deutsche Bank. There's a currency war going on. So you have the same thing repeating itself. And now trade wars are heating up, and then world war. We're seeing a replay of the past, and people are denying it. There's a war in Libya, there's a war in Syria, there's a war in Yemen, there's a war in Bahrain. There's class warfare throughout Europe. Look what's going on in Italy right now with Beppe Grillo throwing a monkey wrench into the corrupt parties of Bersani and Berlusconi. Look what's going on in Portugal last week. Hundreds of thousands of people taking to the streets a week before. Millions and millions of people taking to the streets in Spain. You have class warfare, real warfare, and now you have trade warfare, currency warfare. To us, it's very clear where it's all going. Oh, and I love those French. Hey, things getting tough? You need a little bit more dough. I got a plan for you. You can't get over the French Sudan trip. You know, the one that you guys were on since 1896 to 1960. Need some more gold? Go back into Mali. Yeah, they pulled out 50 tons of it last year, and it could be yours just for some slaughter and genocide, and you could get back in the red again. Or sounds the black like again, excuse me. Red with blood, black with money.
Sounds like a great deal if you happen to be a ruthless sociopathic scumbag.
Qualification, by the way, for every world leader. Yeah. Those are what you need to be to get ahead in the game.
Mm. It is a corrupt man's game. And this is another thing that I wanted to ask you, Gerald, as well. You're talking about how it's a currency war and a trade war and all of that. Do you understand who the factions are or who's winning? And second part of that, we're talking about the qualifications of scumbags getting into these political games, financiers, that kind of thing. I was wondering, you sort of used to be involved in this, and what got you out of it? Did you have some kind of big experience in your life, a revelation, if you were, that made you change direction, or...?
I found Jesus. No, what happened was I started growing up. I began my career as the, you won't find Jesus at the Vatican, I can tell you that right now. But anyway, I began my career by, I used to run political campaigns in Westchester County at a graduate school. And then I was the assistant to the secretary of the New York State Senate. And I designed and taught American politics and campaign technology at St. John's University. And then from there, I was a government affairs specialist for the chemical industry in D.C. for many years. And then what happened is, you know, this was in the late 70s. A lot of stuff was going on. And I, you know, started waking up to this whole thing and realized that, you know, I didn't want to do this anymore. And it wasn't worth the money to sell my soul. And I started growing up and doing a lot of other things to find my way, you know, learning how to meditate, taking, you know, I'm a close combat black belt in, for many years. So I started learning to get control of myself and finding out who I am. And I have an expression, you know, the motto of the Trends Research Institute, the Trends Journal, actually, our publication, is think for yourself. And so when I say what I'm saying, you know, don't believe me. This is the way I see things. Think for yourself. But to ask you, you know, how did I change? My definition of hell is taking that last breath, Vinny, and knowing that you BS'd yourself and you weren't the person who you said you were or could have been. So I don't want to end up like that. So I try to find the truth within myself.
And usually the thing that I find about people in your position who are of great success and intelligence minds is they contribute to society as a whole much, much more than the average person who simply goes to work and does their job changing tires or whatever. I mean, everybody contributes. But what I see you doing, in particular with all your radio and media appearances, is you're really donating a substantial portion of your time and expertise to actually make a real difference in the world so that people have accurate information.
Well, thank you. But it's really much, my objective is, and the objective of the Trends Journal and the work that we do, is for everybody to rise up to the greatest level they have within themselves. And when that happens, when the individual changes, then everything changes. So, for example, if you eat junk food and drink junk drinks, you know what you're going to look like and feel like. If you take in junk news, watch junk entertainment, and listen to junk music, you know where your mind is going to go. So what we're saying to people is that find the greatness within yourself. When you do that, then the whole game changes. You don't listen to morons, the sociopaths and psychopathic scumbags that you were referring to before. And you create the greatness within yourself. So when that happens to me, that's the way that everything changes. And by the way, all eyes and ears right now, in my belief, should be on Italy with the five-star movement, Beppe Grillo's five-star movement. And you notice how the media always refer to him as a comedian. Oh, yeah, like these other guys aren't buffoons and comedians. How about referring to Ronald Reagan as a grade B movie actor or Jimmy Carter, the peanut farmer that, you know, took the White House, or George Bush, the former baseball team owner, or I got one. How about Barack Obama, the failed community organizer? So what they do is they try to diminish the importance of what Grillo and his team are doing. But to me, that's the model to follow because it's not.
Could you explain what that model actually is? Because I've not even heard of the five-star movement.
Wow. You see, that's what I mean. It's not making the news. He just disrupted the entire Italian government. His party, the Five Star Movement, got more votes than any other single party. It only began in 2009. He's a brilliant satirist. And what he's done is he's exposed the corruption and the stupidity and incompetence of the ruling class. And how the whole system has to change. He did it with the internet. He refused to go on any of those political talk shows like Meet the Prestitutes like we have here in the States or go on any television. He did it all over the internet, and his following are all mostly young people. And the movement is about not belonging to any party, but having a clear direction of where you're going. They're concerned about the environment. They're concerned about equality. They don't want to get involved in foreign entanglements. The things that the transportation that really works rather than the crap that they got going on now. So the five-star movement is a model to follow because it has a direct focus. It's outside of the mainstream. They got like something like 118 seats in the parliament, 26% of the votes compared to about 30% each for the other two parties. And Mario Monti, three-card Monti, the head, the technocrat that's heading the Italian government now, he only got 10% of the vote. So it's not a protest. Protests don't work. Movements do. And that's what we're writing about, by the way. It's going to be a huge focus of the Spring Trends Journal that will be out in mid-April. This is the way of the future. The ruling parties are no longer viable. Oh, you know what the big one of his is? Direct democracy. Let the people vote. He wants the Italian people to vote whether or not to stay with the euro. I was in Italy in 2002 when the euro came online. It was about 86 cents to the dollar. Now it's about 130 cents to the dollar. The people are suffering under inflation. One size doesn't fit all. The only thing that this is doing is making the banks more capable by having one eurozone currency of ripping everybody off simultaneously. So direct democracy to me is the answer.
All right. Well, Gerald, unfortunately, we're coming to the end of the segment, so I wanted to tell you a joke that's based on you. I remember seeing you talk about how to get a good employee on this college conspiracy documentary. So what do you call an employee who used to work for Gerald Celente? An excellente employee. Thank you very much for coming on the show with us. I don't know if you have any more time to stay with us, but, you know, I think you're a busy man, so we'll let you go if you can.
Well, thanks a lot, Vinny. Until the next time, thanks for having me on.
Thank you very much indeed. We'll see you after the break, ladies and gentlemen.